What up? This is Caroline with the CWC podcast, where we believe that life without your favorite foods is not worth living. I'm going to be talking a lot about my journey to food freedom, and of course, I will always keep it real by sharing the good, the bad, and of course, the ugly.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
I've had more questions about this in the past month and a half than I have anything else. And I wrote all of our questions down that you and I wanted to go over, and then I printed out all of the questions that came in off of Instagram, and hopefully we can hit all of those. I already did your intro, which is what took me so long to admit you, because I wanted to kind of just talk about how we met and how you were instrumental in helping me figure out when we tested my neurotransmitters. I feel like that was kind of like the first glimpse of hope that I had in, I can't even tell you how long. And I just remember feeling like I would have never thought, I didn't even know what that was. And when you brought it up and we tested, it was like the beginning of a lot of hope for me. And it was huge. So I talked about that, and which is exactly why I want you to explain all of this. I'm in this industry, but I'm not in any of it what you do. And that's why I love having professionals on, so that you can say basically in layman's terms for people to understand what this is, what is a huge misconception about it, and who can it help? Who is it for? And just your basic thoughts on it. So we can just jump right in.
Here we go then.
Here we go.
All right. I am Tana Donaldson. I am a PA in Denver, Colorado, from Oklahoma. And I did 14, 15 years of emergency medicine and trauma in Oklahoma, and then here in Colorado. Somewhere in there, I started working in plastic surgery part-time and doing a lot of regenerative medicine. And about, gosh, we're in the, it's going to be 8 years, which is mind blowing, but I opened my own practice. I know, here in Denver. And I started with aesthetics, which sort of morphed into women's wellness, which sort of grew and grew. And now I'm doing a lot of weight loss, longevity medicine, and really studying hard. It's not to me, like, I love doing Botox and filler and skincare and all of those things, but it's not just about looking better or even like feeling better on the outside. That matters, but I'm really looking to just increase quality of life for people in general, so that we have less, so that nursing homes are empty, and so that our kids don't have to take care of us when we're older, and we can jump on a trampoline with not just our kids, but our grandkids. That's my goal. And so functional, it's, I'm not a functional medicine practitioner, but I am very focused on functional medicine. And so I'm super excited today to talk about semaglutide and what all it can do for you.
That was perfect. And I love how you, like you said, I'm not a functional medicine doctor, but you bring that aspect into it, which I ultimately believe now with everything that we live in, you have to have, I've said this for years, you have to be your own healthcare advocate, and you have to find someone who is qualified as a medical doctor or a physician's assistant, and also has to look at it from a functional medicine viewpoint also. So I think it's a combination of Western medicine, functional medicine. I don't feel like you can do one without the other, really. I think they have to be combined, and that's just why I love you so much. So,
well, you're right. You can't do it well if you have one without the other, because I know I said this to you the other day, and I say it all the time, and I hate it so much that it's true. But in America, we as practitioners, it is my opinion that we are trained to keep people sick and alive. So we have full nursing homes. Yep. We have people that live into their 90s, but they're on 500 drugs and they have 500 side effects, and they, one problem leads to the next, leads to the next. And so my goal, literally, even in the ER, I would be like, man, there's 28 drugs on your list of meds. Maybe we could just quit them all and see what happens. Not, but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be like, I don't even know what I'm treating. You're on so many drugs. I have no idea.
Right.
here. I just want to figure out if we can get weight off of you, if we can get your thyroid functioning better, if we can get your joints feeling better, like everything is just going to get better. And we're going to be able to chip away and take these things, these drugs that you're on, away and increase your lifespan where you can actually enjoy your life and not live like this, you know?
Right. Right.
So it's unfortunate, but I'm doing it different. Trying to.
That's the whole, like, people like you are so, rare, I feel like, because, you know, most medical doctors, if you hear someone's depressed, will literally just jump to an antidepressant before even checking your testosterone, which is such an easy fucking fix.
Yeah.
And it's way more natural with a lot less side effects. And it just boggles my mind. I literally talk to people daily, clients daily, that they're like, well, they wanted to put me on Prozac. And I'm like, did you look at your testosterone? And they were like, well, no, like that needs to happen first.
Yeah. Like, or thyroid, or there's so many things that could affect your thyroid. Mental health. Yeah, totally. Agreed, my friend.
Yes. Okay. So now I want you to talk about what, I would say Ozempic, because I feel like that's the buzzword, but it's semaglutide. Yes, I want you to just go into like, what is it? What is it getting labeled as that it is not? What's a big misconception about it? Who is it for? Let's just like jump right in and like squash a bunch of shit that you have seen or heard that you want to be like, this is what it is and what it's used for.
Okay, you got it. I want to make sure there's this one word I want to say, and I want to make sure I say it right. Hang on. What if I mispronounced a word that I'm saying? I'm like, I'm an expert on this and I said it wrong.
Oh, okay. I do that all the time. I was calling it semaglutide, remember? You were like, it's semaglutide.
That's amazing. Okay. I am ready. Who do you edit this, or who does?
My videographer, he can edit stuff.
Amazing. Okay. All right, cool. I'm ready. Let's talk about semaglutide.
Ready.
Okay. Semaglutide. We can thank Kim Kardashian, I think, because I'm pretty sure she took it. And I'm pretty sure that's when TikTok blew up. And then now all of the world knows Ozempic. So to clear the air about the difference between Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic, semaglutide, so there is no confusion. In fact, I had someone on Facebook totally like tear me down the other day because saying I was stealing drugs from diabetics. So this is a perfect time to address that, because I would never do like that.
No.
Ozempic is the brand name drug. Wegovy, Mounjaro, Ozempic, those are brand name drugs. So you can get those from Walgreens. If you are diabetic and you have failed other medications, then perhaps even your insurance would pay for it. And you could go pay a little copay and drive through Walgreens and get it. Wegovy was actually FDA approved for weight loss. The problem, and Ozempic is approved for diabetes. So Wegovy has the weight loss indication. However, most insurance companies don't have weight loss coverage. So you still can't get it covered. And
right.
Costing $900 or more a month. So what happened, semaglutide is just the generic. It's just like Zofran is Ondansetron, or like, you know, there's a generic name for every drug.
Right.
Just the generic. And so what happened was we started asking compounding pharmacies to make semaglutide. The way compounding pharmacies work, it's literally a, what's it called? An assembly line. Like you put a prescription in the patient, it prints off and they just go to work in their sterile labs and they literally just make it. So semaglutide, when I prescribe it, it is combined with vitamin B12, not always, but from the place I get it, it has B12 in it. B12 increases absorption and efficacy slightly, but I believe it's there more because they have to say it's different chemically than the Mounjaro Ozempic, so that they're not infringing on the patent. So it is chemically exactly the same thing. We are not stealing from diabetics. I'm not sending any patients through Walgreens to get it. Diabetics can do that and pay a copay, but my patients are not doing that. They're getting it from a compounding pharmacy and they can make a surplus of it. There is no shortage of anything that they need to make semaglutide. So
interesting. Okay.
Yes. It might take you a month to get your first because all of America wants it right now, but that doesn't mean there's a shortage. There's a shortage of staff, not a shortage of the peptide. It's a peptide, not a drug. All right. So
I'm glad you clarified that.
Well, no,
I had a, I had a girl kind of going on a rant to me on TikTok yesterday about it. And she was like, cause I said, it's a peptide, not a drug. And she was like, made by a pharmaceutical company. It's a drug. And I was like, okay, all right.
You know, everyone knows everything, don't they? I love it.
Yep.
All right. So semaglutide, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, all the things, they are glucagon like peptides. You can forget that. But what they do is they stimulate your pancreas to secrete, to make more insulin, and it increases the efficacy of how that organ functions. So if you have any degree of insulin resistance, which we could go down that whole rabbit hole if we want to, this is like, take my medical hat off. My personal experience with hundreds of patients here is that almost every woman over the age of, I don't know, 35 has some metabolic abnormality on labs. Their thyroid's messed up. Their insulin's high. There's something going on. They've got clinical depression. They struggle with anxiety, whatever it is. There's something that's off. And it's all, like, our bodies are so fascinating, but it is all related. So anyway, I digress. Insulin resistance. If you take this peptide, it can reverse that insulin resistance and cause your pancreas to function better. So if you have more insulin floating around, it puts the glucose, your sugar, into the cell so that it can be used for fuel. And so if you're putting the glucose into the cell, using it for fuel, there's less of it floating around that's eventually going to cause problems, metabolic disease, diabetes, you know, raise your hemoglobin A1C, make your thyroid, it's going to affect so many organs in so many ways. Glucagon-like peptides also have an effect on the brain, which is where you have increased satiety and it changes your relationship to food in a positive way. And I will add that once you stop taking it, it is my experience that it does not just go back to the way it was. It depends on the person. There's so much to talk about there, but it's not like you get off of it and all of a sudden you're back on the couch eating a bag of Oreos. It's just, it changes your relationship to food. And it also affects your GI tract. So side effect wise, you can have nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. It's patient dependent. It's usually transient. And we can get into side effects as well. It is a once a week injection. You start on a very low baby dose, which is so important. There are so many people that are getting sick because they are started on a really high dose, or they get it from someplace and they don't have a hand to hold, or they don't have guidance. And so they're taking four times the amount of the drug. And so they're getting pancreatitis or severe nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. So as Americans, we like instant gratification and we're not very patient beings. So we want like weight loss now. We want to take it and we want to lose 30 pounds 30 days from now, you know, which if that ever happened, it wouldn't be sustainable anyway. And it's for sure coming back because anything that fast is not promising. It didn't change anything in your body. Maybe you lost a bunch of water weight and some muscle mass. I have no idea, but that's not good. So people want to overdose themselves because it's regarded as safe. And so they think it's okay, but then they get pancreatitis and they're in the hospital. And then this peptide gets a bad rep because that person is now on Instagram and TikTok shaming Ozempic, or we'll call it semaglutide, saying that it causes people to die and have pancreatitis and all these things when they didn't use it like they were supposed to. So the first month is a baby dose to introduce your pancreas to it. It also mitigates some of those side effects when you do this slowly. And then the next month you double it, and the next month you double it, and you can go from 0.25 to 0.5 to 1 to 1.5 to 2 to 2.4 or 5. And then it's no higher than that. I don't even have anyone on that highest dose because we don't need to go that high. This is so effective. It pulls weight off so well that we don't even have to go up to that highest dose.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That was such good information. As far as when you were talking about, you mentioned metformin in the text when you said you were taking notes, and I have personal, reasonings behind even me just wanting to talk about this as well, because I, as you know, my sister has had PCOS literally as long as I can remember. And she has, you know, been unable to get any weight off no matter what she tries. And she's perfectly fine with her body right now. I want to note that so that anyone watching, like, she doesn't even want to take anything at this point. She's happy. And that's all I could ever hope for any woman, man, is to be happy with their body. And she's healthy. So that's all I care about. But she has tried metformin, and metformin, nothing worked. Nothing she tried ever worked. And I feel like I have a lot of clients who also have PCOS or an autoimmune disorder like Hashimoto's, or they're completely insulin resistant. And those are the types of, or diabetics. Those are the types of people and clients that I want to help the most, because I feel like up until now, there hasn't been anything for them. There's no hope. There's no option. Nothing works. They've tried it all. And with the metformin, I want to know kind of what your thoughts are as far as people with PCOS or like the autoimmune, like you're seeing it now being able to help those people. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Metformin is a really interesting drug. It's been around for a long time. It's cheap. It's super accessible, very easy to get. Usually really well tolerated. Weight loss is a side effect of it. It's not as profound as it is with semaglutide, but metformin, typically in medicine, we use it. Like, it obviously you're talking about PCOS and other things. And I was mentioning it as a way to wean off of semaglutide, which I'll get to, and to sustain the benefits of it. But, metformin is the first go-to thing that we choose when someone is newly diabetic. So they don't need insulin yet, but their hemoglobin A1C, which is a test that we do that gives us a percentage, basically what your glucose has been doing over the last 90 days. There's a normal range, then pre-diabetic, then diabetic. So if a person has other comorbidities, they've got heart disease, they're obese, whatever it is, and they're in that pre-diabetic range, we might consider putting someone on metformin because they'll lose some weight. And it's so wild. If you, like, once you know this in your practice too, once someone starts to see a little bit, like the needle move a little bit, they have this new fire inside of them and they start making better choices because something's finally budging. The pain point is with the patients and clients who can't move the needle no matter what they try, like what you're talking about. It's frustrating for me, just as frustrating as it is for my patients that are like that. I feel like semaglutide is actually the thing that busts through that barrier, like metformin can't, like other things can't. This is the thing. I don't even know how many patients I have on it now. So many, I can't count. I can't hardly keep up anymore anyway, but it is working for every single one of them. I don't have anyone. I have had a couple people come off because they're done. They've achieved the result they want and they're sustaining it. But I don't have anyone that's like, it doesn't really do it for me. No one.
Yeah.
So it seems to bust through those barriers of like, I've tried everything and nothing works. And I have all these problems. It just seems to break through. But back to metformin, the way I think about it, it is not a glucagon like peptide agonist, like semaglutide. It's not in the same class. However, it's sort of lubricates, what a fun word, or, you know, like, paves the path for the GLP-1 agonist to work better. So there is a tolerance to semaglutide, you grow a tolerance to it, but there's a rapid extinction of the tolerance. So say you take semaglutide for 1 to 12 months, you achieve what you want, but you've sort of hit a wall. It's not working anymore. You can out-eat semaglutide if you want to. You can outdo it. I have had patients do that and I have to get into, you know, a little out of my lane and do some nutritional counseling because you really can out-eat the peptide. Not most people don't, but you can. Anyway, once you hit the wall, you can come off of it. take metformin, which is cheap, easy, tolerated, safe. In fact, it's being studied for in all kinds of longevity studies right now because people are just living longer taking it. Like I'm interested in being on metformin just from a longevity standpoint. I am not anywhere near diabetic, but I am interested in metformin for a lot of reasons. And I'm paying close attention to the research that's being done. But if you come off the semaglutide, take metformin for a few months and you're just sort of like lubricating that pathway, giving your body a break, that tolerance does go extinct very quickly. And you can go back on the semaglutide, even at the lowest dose again, and it's effective again.
Wow.
It's a nice way to A, give someone a financial break because it's still expensive. Yeah. And B, just make it work more effectively where, because otherwise people don't want to pay however many hundreds a month to be on this thing that's so amazing when they've just completely hit a wall. It's going to break them down mentally. They're going to think
yes,
wrong. So you have to take, we call them holidays. You have to take a holiday from it. And metformin's a good bridge between those dosings. Does that make sense?
Okay. That's really, really good to know. And I had, she's a really close friend and she was a client of mine that started with me about 7 months ago. And she, her A1Cs were, she'd had diabetes for 15 years. She was on insulin for 15 years. And we worked together for 6 months and her A1Cs in 6 months dropped from like a 7.5 to like a 6.2. And she is now like very close to like, her doctor was like, you're not even going to be a diabetic. If you drop like two more points, like you will not even have diabetes. And she was like sobbing and couldn't believe it. And like stuff like that is what gives me chills with what I do because it is way more than, you know, food and workouts and all that shit. But it's because I have people in my corner to also help with that as well. But she asked a question that I want to answer. She said, I honestly hate that they prescribed this for weight loss, talking about semaglutide. Diabetics have the worst time getting it. I know that's just my opinion. How, cause she was like, will you just ask her like, and what you said in the beginning about it, you were like, there's not a shortage of it. There's a shortage of staff. So she's basically wanting to know why people who are diabetic or maybe have PCOS, they cannot get it or it's super fucking expensive, but there's all these people taking it for weight loss. So I want your opinion on that.
Yeah, I will reiterate and be even more clear about it. When you're diabetic or you have some sort of metabolic diagnosis that warrants you getting this peptide from a commercial pharmacy. So I'm just going to use Walgreens, for instance. Your doctor writes a prescription or sends it in and you go to Walgreens to get it. That is commercial. That is pharmaceutical. That is coming from the manufacturer. That is one thing. The semaglutide that I prescribe comes from a compounding pharmacy. It has nothing to do with the pharmaceutical industry. It is made in-house at this pharmacy. They make it, they combine it with B12, and they ship it out to my patients. So it's not inhibiting the development, the manufacturing, the speed of making Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. And for whatever reason, people, I understand being upset about this. Like, I don't want to steal from diabetics and people. I wouldn't do that. But going to cost, like if you were like, hey, I want to lose 15 pounds, I want semaglutide. And I wrote you a prescription for Ozempic and said, go fill it at Target or whatever. You can look even on GoodRx, on the GoodRx app, which if everyone doesn't have that, you should, but on the good, it's like $900 still. It's almost $1,000. And that's just for 1 month. That's for 4 weeks. So you can do that if you want, but I can get it for $425 a month. And it comes with supplies and there is no shortage. The reason why you have to wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks to get it is because everyone has drastically underestimated. First of all, its efficacy. Second of all, just how well this is going over so well, and America needed it so badly. So they just really underestimated how much they needed to make. And it will balance out. It's like COVID tests. We couldn't find COVID tests.
Yes.
Now they're everywhere.
And now you can get, Okay. That was the perfect, I was genuinely wondering. And that is so good to know for just information for me, because I have so many people asking me those types of questions. And I want to be able to say, I have an answer and I have something to help. And even if you know someone who wants it and can't get it and they are diabetic or whatever, I want to help other people get their hands on it if they need it. So that was so fucking helpful. I'm so glad I asked that. one of the main things I got multiple times was the whole muscle mass loss. I keep hearing people talk about, oh, but yeah, you're going to lose all your muscle. And most of the time, I mean, I heard this guy talking about it yesterday and it like sent me into a fucking rage because he was like, just like a fitness junkie, you could tell. And he was like 70 and he was like, just work out, like just do the work. These people just want a quick fix. And I literally wanted to jump through the screen and like slap him across the face because it's like, I can guarantee you, you've never had any fucking issues losing weight, keeping it off, building muscle. Like you just slide through life with ease. And how easy is that of you to tell all these fucking people that they're taking an easy way out? I'm sorry, but it made me so angry. And so like, those are the types of things. And he mentioned that he was like, I don't want to lose all my muscle. And now they're going to lose muscle to get weight off in 30 days. And I'm just like, you are so ignorant. So let's talk about the actuality of, do you lose muscle mass when you take semaglutide?
I love this question and I'm excited to answer it, but I have to pause and just encourage all of your listeners to always, no matter what it is you're looking up, just go to the source and make sure that it's reputable and trustworthy, because the world is full of a lot of idiots. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we believe and think is true was from an idiot's mouth who did not do his or her homework and gets on some platform and says something. And so the double blind clinical trials, I won't get doctory nerdy, as you said earlier. I won't go there.
I love it.
But they're out there. They're, you can read them. Anyone can read them. And it's profound. They're big studies. And not only did we do those studies, but we now have millions of people that are actively, we're creating our own clinical trials in real time.
Right.
And I have over 100-ish people taking this now, and I'm talking to them every single week. So I can tell you from my personal experience, like forget that I am a PA and do this. I can tell you from personal experience what's happening. And you can believe it or not, that's fine. But this is in real time, right in front of my face, actual data. In the studies way back when, this was only really, I mean, this is not that old. It's pretty new still, but this study was long enough. They followed people for a year or more. And so Wegovy, which is the one that has the weight loss indication, did a study with a huge pool of people. And they actually told them not to exercise. This is part. And then they did it because, first of all, let's just ask ourselves, would the FDA actually approve something that caused human beings to lose muscle mass, which is directly related to longevity? And like your skeletal structure, like if you get osteoarthritis, you, I believe the number is it takes about 7.2 years off your life. And the way you prevent that is not overuse, but you have to put tension on bones by weightlifting. So muscle mass and skeletal mass is so immensely important to the health and well-being of humans. Why on God's green earth would the FDA approve something that caused you to lose muscle? It doesn't even make sense. But if we have to have the argument, then we can have the argument. They did the study and told people not to work out. So don't work out. Wow. And they did lose a little bit of muscle mass, but they lost a lot of fat mass. So we all understand that you have water, bone, muscle, and fat in your body, right? Mm-hmm. Different proportion, different percentages for each of us. If you are at dinner and someone brings the table a pitcher of water, ice water, there's ice and there's water in the pitcher, and your cup is full of ice, and you know how you turn it to the side to just pour ice out so it catches the, or just pour water out so it catches
water.
Yes. You're going to probably get one cube of ice, right? It doesn't always work where all the ice stays in the pitcher. This is the best analogy I can think of. And if the water was fat, you lost a ton of fat, but you also lost a little bit of muscle mass. Because your composition is going down and changing. You have a new body, new percentages, new makeup. Does that make sense? So yes. And those people didn't freaking work out. So
I've lost muscle mass over the past year because I have been working out much less than I have. And I'm not taking anything. I just have been working out and strength training significantly less than I was. My muscle mass has decreased a little bit. So like, I feel like that's just like, what's going to happen when you're not working out?
Exactly. And so they didn't study what happens when you exercise, or even better, what happens because people feel good on semaglutide. You actually feel, once you get through that first, I feel a little nauseous for however long, maybe, if that even happens. Mm-hmm. Once you're through that, people generally, I have had my friend ask me this morning, why do I feel so much better on it than off of it? And most people have that experience. So once you feel good, if you're going to the gym, you're going to want to go to the gym. And if you're lifting, not only are you not going to lose muscle mass, you're going to gain muscle mass. And that right. muscle mass will continue to help you burn fat. You're only going to have even better results if you're working out while you're on semaglutide. I think one of the right. biggest things is that I'm 41, and as we get, like in college, all I ever did was run on a treadmill. I hardly ever lifted weights. I just ran. And thought that's like what we were supposed to do. I might go and like do some bicep curls, but there were like cute boys in the gym and I got nervous and had to leave. So I didn't do it.
Like with the 3-pound weights, you're like.
Yes. So, but now as we age and as our hormones plummet and everything changes, it has never been more important for women, especially to lift weights and lift heavier. I'm not saying be bodybuilders. I'm saying lift heavier. You have to keep your skeletal structure strong and you have to keep muscle mass up for not just health and like the way that you look, but from a longevity and functional standpoint so that you can jump on a trampoline with your grandkids. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that answers it. I can get a little mad about this because I know the people that love to get on whatever it is, Instagram, TikTok, and talk about how bad it is because you lose all your muscle mass. They're just wrong. It's not accurate. It's not accurate.
Squashed. I love that. Squashed. Love it. Okay. So let me see. Yeah. One of the questions I think you just answered, she said, do you recommend patients work out while on this drug? That would be a yes.
Yes,
has the amount of muscle wasting been studied with this drug? Yes. How long are people typically on this for weight loss? That's a good question.
Yeah. Tough to answer. I mean, I could tell you what the studies show, but every single person has a different experience.
Okay.
The end. I mean,
so like you said, like anywhere from 1 month to 12 months. So, I mean, totally. There's a wide range in there depending on how much weight you have to lose. What are your other, like you said, comorbidities or other conditions that you have that I'm assuming you would have to take into effect for how long you're going to take it?
Exactly. I have a patient who came to me, I think she weighed like 210 and she's only 5'4" and she was buying 2 plane seats, couldn't ride a horse, all kinds of things and has now lost over 100 pounds. But we've done multiple things. It's taken a long time. And also there's been so many shifts in her relationship to food, her relationship to exercise, just habit forming, you know, changing yes. neural pathways and really working on just the psychology of all of this stuff too. It's not so simple. You know, it's not
no,
like
it's not. Day,
you'll lose 5 pounds a month and it'll stay off forever. It's just so patient dependent. Are you eating well? Are you getting enough protein? Are you sleeping? Are you freaking sleeping? Are you exercising?
Are you happy?
Do you feel good? I mean, like what's going on in your relationships? Is your cortisol through the roof because you're going through a divorce or because you lost someone or because, you know, I don't know. There's like so many layers, but if you are applying yourself, you're compliant with the peptide, you're eating the right things, which we can get into a little, but again, not my lane, but I know what I'm talking about to a certain degree. I think we all do, but I love to refer to nutritionists because that I just like to stay out of that lane. Protein's the big thing. But anyway, if you're doing that and you're lifting weights, you're going to be fine. You're going to lose weight. Not work. It works every single time.
Yeah. And it's only been showing to improve. I feel like what I'm hearing from you is like quality of life, people are just happier. And it's funny you said that. My friend that has been on it, she said the other day, because I asked her, I said, I'm hearing now and seeing that it's like helping people with OCD. And I'm wondering if it's because it's changing your brain, the neural pathways. And so a lot of people, I've gone on a rabbit hole now on TikTok, and I've literally seen so many comments from women be like, oh my God, I didn't even realize this, but I have not been like skin picking and haven't been biting my nails. And I didn't realize it until like I saw this TikTok about how it's like changing addictive behaviors, not just like the food noise, but like alcohol noise, online shopping noise. And I'm like, okay, I have severe OCD. And as up until now, like sedatives are the only thing that they have offered me. I've been to psychiatrists and they're like, I can give you a sedative for your OCD. And I'm like, no, I want something to fix it. I don't want to drug myself into a fucking stupor. And so I just don't take anything for it, but I wouldn't wish OCD on my worst enemy. It's fucking debilitating every day. And so I asked my friend Sarah and she said, this is interesting. I've noticed being way less triggered and less ragey. She said, I had a very small panic attack yesterday and realized that it had been at least 2 months since my last one. And I was like,
wow,
interesting. So I selfishly am now like, I never would have even considered this for myself because I don't want to lose weight. But if you are going to tell me that like people are noticing significant changes in their brain behavior and like, I would lay down right now and try it like because of how it affects my day-to-day life. So I don't even know where I was going with that, but,
I am no expert in the peptide world. I wish I was. I will say we are skimming the surface of peptides. They kind of are the future. If you talk to someone in functional medicine, they would probably have a lot more to say about there's so many peptides that can do so many things. I think that we will find some really fascinating data at some point about all this stuff. I can't say with certainty that this is what happens, but this is the way I think right. about it regarding what you're saying. If sitting down in front of a big fat piece of chocolate cake prior to semaglutide would make you salivate, you're like desperate for it. It looks so good. And you just want it so bad. And you take that first bite and it's the most satisfying tasting. You just feel so good having it. It feels like a reward. It's like Pavlov's dog, right? If it doesn't feel like a reward anymore, your desire for it goes way down.
Right.
And so if your addictions, we'll call them addictions. That's a big bold word, but let's call them addictions, whatever they are. Like if you're addicted to being in rage, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're addicted to something, addicted to alcohol, addicted to picking, addicted to whatever it is. If that dopamine surge doesn't happen, or if you don't get that reward and that like excitement from doing the thing, then all of a sudden it's just not exciting anymore. Right. So you just don't do it.
Exactly.
Anymore. So, because desire is a huge motivator. I mean, it can be sex, alcohol, literally anything. It can be anything that you just, it feels good. You love it. You want to do it all the time. And then it just takes over because desire will cause you to do crazy things sometimes. So if you kill that desire, then what's left, you know? So
yes.
I believe
that is super interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I just don't know. I can't give you facts. So these are my opinions, but it's definitely a thing. And I'm hearing it too from lots of people.
I like that. Okay. So that was my own selfish question I wanted to know. Let's see, we've answered all those. Let's see here. Gosh, these are all good questions. I want to go over all of them. We'll start with this one. Do you think we will see an increase in gastroparesis due to this medication?
I think I saw this one. I think that this question is coming from the fact that semaglutide, that GLP-1 agonist, so whether it's semaglutide, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, they delay gastric emptying, which is a little bit counterintuitive because prior to all that we know, we're always doing the best we can with what we know, right? But prior to all this, we always preached about metabolism. How do we increase your metabolism? And we want to like everything to move faster. So it's a little bit of a shift in this paradigm when you're talking about slowing everything down. That doesn't sound good. It sounds like it's all just going to go right to my thighs or something, right? So you don't want to slow things down, but this peptide does delay gastric emptying. And it, because of that, you have satiety that lasts much longer. So if things are moving slower, you're not blowing through it as fast, you're satiated longer, and you're able to absorb more nutrients from whatever it is you're putting in, hopefully good stuff. Diabetics get something called gastroparesis. And if I remember back to my ER days, I believe there were a couple patients that were not diabetic that had gastroparesis, and it was what we call idiopathic. We don't know why. They just have gastroparesis where their stomach literally, and it can be caused like a debilitating pain. It can be very, very painful when your stomach, just everything shuts down and you just have to wait. Yeah. There's not a real good answer for that. I have not seen that gastroparesis has ever been a side effect. I don't know of any reports of it with this peptide, but I think that's where this question is coming from, because it does delay gastric emptying, which sounds like gastroparesis, but it isn't gastroparesis.
Okay. That was perfect answer to that. Most common side effects seen, I think we can say the nausea, but we talked about that, and we talked about how like you start at a very baby dose. Are there any reasons or conditions for someone not to take it?
Yes. So, contraindications for semaglutide are very few. Personal or family history of medullary thyroid carcinoma. And there's another endocrine disease that's listed, but it's only listed because part of the trilogy of that disease is medullary thyroid carcinoma. So that's really the only one thing that you just absolutely are not a candidate for it. I saw this on there too, but it's pertinent now. I do labs on every patient before they start, not because I'm looking for something to be wrong, but because it's prudent to have a baseline thyroid level, a baseline lipid panel, so that I have tabs on what your body's doing. But even better than that is in 6 months, we can check it again. And I can be like, check it out. Your A1C went way down. Your thyroid is now normal. Your cholesterol is now normal. You can quit taking your Synthroid. You can quit taking your lipid medication. You know, it's freaking incredible to see people's progress metabolically in proof, in printed paper. It's amazing to look at that. So I always get labs and I check. And if something's off that seems like this, then I'll dig first before we ever start.
Right, right. And I'm glad that you brought that up. You said it, any labs to do before taking it. Do you have to wean off of it, or can you just stop taking it?
Yeah. So you can just stop taking it. It's not like, you know, antidepressants or other medications where you really, it's actually quite dangerous to just cold turkey come off of it. You can just stop. I have though been kind of tinkering with lowering as people sort of have achieved what they want. If they feel afraid psychologically of what they are going to do and the choices they are going to make, then what I'll do is take them down half dose and then stop, like for a month or two and then stop, more for psychological reasons to like ease them into that instead of just like, bam, you're done, especially if they were way up on 2 milligrams or something. But I don't know that there's any science behind that. It's more, again, for just mental psychological reasons. I will also say this is not necessarily how it's written to take, but back to the metformin thing. If you come off of it and you don't want to be on semaglutide anymore, you achieved what you wanted, but you a couple months later, like you gained a pound, you don't feel as good. Before we just jump back onto semaglutide, we could do 90 days of metformin and it probably would do the trick. And after that, if you decided you wanted to go back on semaglutide, we just lubricated the pathway and it's going to work really well when we go back on it.
Gotcha. That was a perfect answer to that. Okay. So we got that. We talked about, okay. So, okay. Man, I feel like we touched on everything so far, looking at all these questions that got answered.
I'm trying to think too of like anything that people ask me. I feel like we've talked about so much and all the things
I know. That
people ask. I can't think of anything right now. It might be worthwhile to mention how behind the whole world and the compounding pharmacies are. Like if someone does want to get started, maybe just explain the process, the cost and the process of how it works.
Let's close out with that. Cause that is going to be, I'm guarantee you, like after we've just like, you've, and I have spewed so much information. I feel like we need to, okay, now what, if someone is interested for whatever reason, how would they go about getting it? How much, all that?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Okay. So here is the process to get started. I work with patients in all 49 states, just not Hawaii. And we schedule a call and do a quick little intake. I just build a chart for you and get a medical history. I order labs. If you have labs from the last like 3 to 6 months and not much has changed, then I don't worry about it. But if I need something additional, I can put an order in for you and your insurance can pay for it. So that's one less financial thing to worry about, but we definitely get the labs. And then I place the order with the pharmacy. I'm currently using one that's out of Florida. It's a sister pharmacy to one here in Colorado that I trust. They, along with every other compounding pharmacy that's making this right now, it's taking them 14 to 16 business days to even get it out. And I love all my people so much, but to keep up with 100 people texting me constantly, like, where's my order? You just have to be patient. You just have to be patient because everybody wants it. But once you get started, then there is a process where you're going to continue on and things shouldn't be too delayed. But if you go a week without it, you're not going to turn into a pillar of salt. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just a little bit delayed. So we schedule that intake. We do the labs. So long as everything looks good, we get started. When I put the order in, everything, the peptide, needles, syringes, and alcohol. If you're local in Denver and want to come into my office, I'll do it for you. But most people don't because it's so easy. They're tiny little needles and you can do the injections yourself. You can do it in your thigh. Lower abdomen is normally where people inject it and you can see it very easily. Pinch with one hand, stick with the other. It's super simple. And if you don't want to do it, someone you live with or a friend or spouse or whatever, it's just really easy. So everything gets shipped to your house and you'll have what you need for 1 month. And then I do a lot of texting because otherwise scheduling a call with every single person every week would be literally impossible. Trying not to hire, but I might have to. But anyway, lots of texting. How are you feeling? Or if you feel nauseated and you want some Zofran, I'll call that in for you, whatever. And then I have people tell me after they've done their second injection of that month. And I go ahead and order the next month so that it's there in time. And that's it.
Nice.
And we just keep talking. And everyone's on a different plan. Everyone's moving at their own pace. At the moment it costs $425 a month. It is not forever. You know, if you've got 10 pounds to lose, it probably will come off pretty fast. It's not a long-term commitment, but $425 a month. So usually less than half of what it would cost you to go to Walgreens and get it. So I feel
nice
about that. I think that's kind of it.
I love that. And so now moving forward, I feel much better having all that information for myself as a coach. And if I have a client who just is not losing weight, we've done everything, we've had their hormones tested and they're at a wall, then now I have something I can provide them. And, or if it is like my client who has diabetes and she wants to get it and cannot, and it's taking forever and it's costing thousands of dollars a month, I can now send her to you. And that makes me feel so much better because I honestly have so many people asking me and I'm like, this is why I wanted to do this. So I feel like you answered every single question. We talked about autoimmune, insulin resistance, loss of lean body mass, metformin, all that stuff. Gosh, this was great. And I cannot wait. It's going to air on Friday. So I will send you all of the deliverables once I have them from JJ, which is typically like Thursday afternoon when he uploads it. So, but 7 a.m. is when it will drop. And I'm sure we'll have questions come in after that. So we may do a follow-up or maybe like an Instagram live or something and address all that.
Yeah, sounds good. And feel free whenever, however you put it out there, to share whatever you want to share, email, phone number, whatever.
Okay. I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
You rock. You're the best.
Yeah, that was fun. I love talking
about stuff. I know, me too. I feel like that like flew by.
It did. And it's 11 o'clock already.
I know. That's crazy. That's
amazing.
Thank you for checking out the CWC podcast. If you want to learn more about our community, make sure to check out the show notes.